Today we really have a special chapel speaker, First Lieutenant Matt Templeton and his wife Kelly. Matt graduated in 2006 with a degree in Bible. His wife, the former Kelly Ray Flanagan, is with him today as well and will share a portion of her testimony. Kelly received her B.S. degree in nursing here in 2008. Both of them traveled with the Academy of Arts drama teams for about 5 summers. Matt also served in a summer church internship in Grenada. He worked with the children's and teen ministries at Calvary Baptist Church in Sensible for 3 years. Really, just a few short years ago, Matt and Kelly were sitting right where you are. Now Matt serves as in a current ministry through Serving Jesus in the Mission Field of the Army. And Kelly is an Army wife and the mother of a 1-year-old baby girl. Matt is a graduate of the U.S. Army Engineering Officer Basic Course, and he is a graduate of the Army Ranger School. His testimony centers around an event late last year that occurred in Afghanistan when he suffered severe shrapnel injuries while on a road-clearing mission. He's a recipient of the Purple Heart Award, and I know that the testimony of Kelly and Matt today will challenge and inspire us all. So please come and share it with us.
Wow. Freshman speech definitely does not quite prepare you for this, but I will do my best. I would like to start by thanking Dr. Jones for inviting us to come and speak to you today and just share what God's been doing in our lives. We do not take that invitation lightly at all. I want to give you a little background information, a little more about Matt and I. Matt and I were married in August of 2006. I still had 2 years of nursing school to finish, and he was working a roofing job. When we married, we thought our plans would be for me to graduate, then Matt take a church ministry position for a few years while we started our family, and then for us to go on the foreign mission field. But in January of 2009, through various circumstances, God began opening our eyes to the area of the military as a mission field. As we began praying about the decision, it was one of the first times in my life if I wondered if I could really trust God. At that point, I realized I had made Matt my whole world. It was all centered around him, and my mind struggled to come to grips with the possibility of going down a path that could lead to me losing him. It was one of the first times I felt so out of control. But God gave me the grace needed for that time and gave us both irrefutable peace that was what he wanted for us. In July 2009, Matt left for basic training, and then October of 2010, after completing further officer courses, Matt was assigned to a combat engineer unit at Fort Drum, New York. As soon as we got there, they told us that his unit was scheduled to deploy in October of 2011 for 1 year. As the deployment drew near, I definitely had many days of struggle. Some days I was mad at God for asking this of us. Other days I felt as if fear of the unknown was going to cripple me. But I knew, almost without question, that this was where God wanted us. Well, the deployment came and Matt left on November 3rd. I felt as if God was going to allow something bad to happen, and I wondered if he would be enough to see me through it. Would everything I had said I believed about God prove true? Day after day was a battle of trying to hold to the things of God that I knew to be true and not giving in to the doubts, the worries, or the fears, of praying over and over that God would just allow Matt to come home in whatever condition for him just to come home. Then December 10th, 2011 came, and my whole world was turned upside down. Ella, our 8-month-old daughter, and I were on our way to Indiana with my mom for a long Christmas vacation when I got a phone call from Matt's commander telling me that a rocket had exploded while Matt and his soldiers were in a firefight. Matt had been wounded and was in serious condition at a hospital in Germany. Once I was able to pull to the side of the road, I wept. I had never felt so helpless or out of control in my entire life. But here is the first point for me when my intellectual knowledge of God became experiential in a very real way. The commander wasn't able to tell me anything about Matt's injuries except that he didn't lose any limbs. He also didn't know when he would be able to return to the States. But even amidst all the questions and uncertainties, I felt God's peace, the indescribable peace. I was overwhelmed with the thought of how incredibly finite we are, and yet God had heard my prayers and answered. Matt would come home. The next few days were some of the most frustrating for me because Matt had to stay in Germany longer than expected because some of the issues with his left arm. But through the work of believers all across the country, it was made possible for me to fly to Germany to be with him. When I arrived and was finally able to see him, I felt so many things: incredible love, gratitude, joy, relief. Matt had sustained extensive injuries from the blast. He had 2 chest tubes, 1 to his right lung and 1 to his left to keep them from collapsing. He had a broken right arm, extensive nerve damage that left him unable to walk or use his right hand, fragmentation wounds all down his backside, and arterial damage in his right arm and in his neck. But he was alive, and according to the doctors, he should be able to recover from all of his injuries with time. Praise God. In the days and weeks to come, there were times of great victory, such as when Matt was finally able to walk just a few steps. And there were times when it felt like we had taken 2 steps backwards. There were days when it was easy to trust God, but also days when I said I trusted God only because I was supposed to. On one of those more difficult days, I realized that it wasn't enough for me just to say with my mouth, or just to think it, for me to fully show that I believed God was trustworthy. I had to change my actions. I realized that trusting God is a choice. It doesn't just happen. It is a choice to let go of the control you think you have on a situation. Let go of the image of God in this nice little box that fits so perfectly in your world. There are a couple phrases that I've often viewed as nebulous cliches in the Christian world. Things people would say to comfort you, like, God will give you strength, or just trust the Lord, or God will give you the grace. But what does all that mean in the real world, when your life isn't going according to plan, and in fact is pretty horrible? Do these truths hold up under the pressure of life? But what I realized was that for me, God's grace was Him enabling me to sleep in the chair by Matt's bed for 1 more hour. God's grace was seeing our baby girl be reunited with her daddy. God's strength enabled me to be true to the vows I had made to my husband, that in sickness or in health, I would always love him and remain by his side. Through it all, there were quite a few verses that would come to mind on different days and with different circumstances, but one of those that was with me quite often was Lamentations 3:22-23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. 2 verses that are so very familiar to all of us, but if we let them, they will change our lives. I want to thank you all for your prayers, and hallelujah for the cross.
What questions are you struggling with this morning? Why are bad things always happening to me? When will this end? What am I going to do? Is it okay to feel like this? I want to talk about 2 questions this morning that I have wrestled with, that I think are at the heart of many of the deepest, hardest questions we face. Is God sovereign? And is God good? Is God sovereign? Is he in control? I believe he is in total control over all things, over all people, at all times, in all places. Most of you sitting here will agree with this statement. Some, because of a situation you may be facing, will wonder or even disagree. For those of you who agree, it would be enough for me to tell you that I believe this simply because of passages like Daniel 4:34. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Or the beloved Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But for others of you this morning, those of you who would wonder or disagree, perhaps several instances of the clearly demonstrated sovereignty of God in my own life can help you come closer to embracing it in your own. On December 10th, I was walking with five or six of my soldiers through a dusty, barren field near Nazullah, Afghanistan. According to the tactical formation we were using, the rest of our platoon was a few hundred meters behind us in vehicles on the road. We were on a routine mission that required us to pass by several villages from which we frequently were fired on. So, needless to say, as we passed by the last of those villages, our adrenaline was already pumping, our hearts already pounding, when the familiar sound of gunfire sent us all into fight mode. We took cover behind a small dirt wall and began returning fire in the direction of the enemy. As the platoon leader, I began trying to give orders over the radio. It was then I realized that my radio had gone out, so I would have to run over to the men who were with me in order to give them orders. I quickly turned and began to run toward them. Then, without warning, a rocket came out of nowhere and exploded into the ground just behind me. I was thrown several feet away before I even heard the deafening roar. I opened my eyes and saw blood on my protective glasses. I tried to move, and nothing would work. Even my voice was silent when I attempted to call out. The blast had sent hundreds of hot metal shards slamming into my body, yet I could feel nothing. I knew this was bad. As a spinning darkness descended over my eyes, and I resigned myself to the will of God, I said a little prayer and slipped into unconsciousness, fully expecting to wake up in the arms of Jesus. But God had other plans, and I woke up in serious but stable condition in a hospital at Bagram Airfield. In less than 4 months, after taking a direct hit from an explosion that could have easily maimed or killed me, I stand here today, a living miracle. I am alive today because of God's grace, through many thousands of answered prayers. From the moment my family was informed of my injuries, a network of people began to pray for me and my family. And as the weeks passed, this network of believers grew into the thousands. I could not then begin to know how God would use this injury to teach me and so many others about his goodness. Now I want to fast forward a few weeks. I had been flown first to an army hospital in Germany, then, when stable enough, to a military hospital in Washington, D.C. There had already been many surgeries, many long, restless nights, and many joyful and emotional reunions. It was now the week of Christmas, and if you've ever spent any time in a hospital around Christmas, you know that it can make for low marks on the Mary scale. One of the ways that the hospital, helps to make the season a little brighter for wounded warriors is by facilitating various D.C. VIPs to come and visit with the warriors and their families. I was blessed to have not only my wife and daughter, but also both of our families with me during Christmas time. So my dad found a unique opportunity for ministry this Christmas there in the hospital for wounded warriors. Whenever a guest would come to visit us in my little room, Dad would quietly slip out of the room while we talked to the visitor, and he would wait just outside the door, ready to ambush the unsuspecting prey. And as these men left the room, Dad would take them aside and spend a few minutes encouraging and challenging them to live and lead by righteous principles in their various high-level government positions. Then he would briefly share with them the hope we had in my situation because of the hope we have in Jesus and because of the trust we have in our sovereign God. And although my own ability to think clearly and hold a coherent conversation was still greatly diminished, I watched in silent praise to God as one by one, the Secretary of the Army, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, the director of the White House Situation Room, the director of NCIS, and finally, the Vice President of the United States, all received a seed of challenge toward righteousness and a seed of a hope that is free to all through Jesus Christ. I used to believe and know God was sovereign as a theory, but now I know God is sovereign because I have tasted and seen it. I have experienced the God who orders and ordains the affairs of mankind and the universe, but who does so by directing the smallest detail of every minute according to his plan. Details like I see so clearly in my story. If my radio had not gone out during that firefight in the ends of the earth, I would not have turned to run towards my men just before that rocket hit. And I would have taken the full blast on my front side. And my probability for survival would have gone down by about 75%. God is in the details, like the piece of shrapnel that entered my neck and nicked my carotid artery, causing a connection with a nearby vein, thereby avoiding deadly bleeding from the wound site. Or the shrapnel that entered my arm and destroyed a 3-inch section of my brachial artery. But because it didn't pierce the skin near the artery, the blood was contained within the tissue. And once again, I was spared from a good chance at bleeding to death. God is sovereign even in the details of 3 years ago, when he gave me an unmistakable burden for the opportunities to minister within the mission field of the Army, to minister to and with the soldiers who face the possibility of death every day as they fight to protect our freedom. For it was through that burden that God would work his will into the events of many lives, like a master painter working his colors onto an epic canvas, and cause his word to be heard by some of the nation's highest leaders, and in a setting where they would be most open to it. Yes, there are many aspects of my story where it is easy to see the sovereign hand of God and praise him for it. But what about the difficult parts of this story? Why would God allow me and my family to go through this ordeal in the first place? Why would God want me to go through so many long, sleepless, and painful nights? I had been a picture of fitness in the Army, and that was now seemingly gone in an instant. And when I looked at my prospects for the future, there were many uncertainties because of potential long-term nerve damage in my right hand and left foot. I looked at how hard and tirelessly my wife was working to take care of our daughter and me too, how little I was able to do. And I had major feelings of inadequacy. I had also just recently, before my injury, lost a good friend of mine when he was in Afghanistan. Why does God allow some of us who are injured to come home and others he takes? Why can't God accomplish his sovereign will without allowing such great hurt and heartache? Can we still say God is sovereign over things that don't have a convenient answer? As scared as I was of this answer, I knew it must be yes. If I say he is sovereign when it works in my favor, then I must say he is still sovereign when things appear to be very bad. So then I wanted to know, how can a God who is sovereign even over terrible things be good? One day, as I looked at the other wounded warriors around me and saw many with far greater injuries than me and some with less, I thought of the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. This saying made me think of a familiar psalm where God showed me his answer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Until this point in my life, my understanding of that psalm fit into the easy version of God's sovereignty, that we embrace it only when it's easy or convenient for us to do so. Lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters, and restoreth my soul. Those are beautiful things that we can say God does for us, perhaps when a trial is over, or at least when we understand why he has allowed something. But I never thought of this psalm applying in the really dark, low valleys. But I realized this was written by David, someone whose life was often terrible. And yet he did not link the Good Shepherd's activities with only seasons on the mountaintops. In fact, it's almost as if it is the constants of the Good Shepherd's activities in the first few verses that spurred David to write about his courage to face the dark times. So, this led me to the conclusion that this whole psalm doesn't just apply to the far side of a trial. It is not just for when we can understand God's sovereignty. It is in the present. God is always making me to lie down in green pastures. He is always leading us beside the still waters. He is always doing what is best for us. So yes, God is sovereign all the time. And yes, God is good all the time. And then I thought, how? How is it that our pastures are green when we are all alone in the middle of the worst times in our lives, when we're in the valley of the shadow of death? It is because he is enough. Even in the most horrible condition conceivable, we can say, yes, God is still my good and sovereign shepherd, even if he is the only thing we have left, because he is enough. It was easy at first for me to see and embrace God's sovereign hand in my brush with death. Then I encountered hurts and worries and questions that made God's goodness hard to see in the mystery of his sovereignty. But he has graciously shown me through his word that no matter what trial or hardship or uncertainty we face, no matter what trial or hardship you face, he is right now leading us through rich green pastures. And while I still could never claim to understand the whys concerning his exercise of his sovereignty in your life, I can say that our pastures are green. My pastures are green because my God is enough.
Thank you, First Lieutenant Templeton and Kelly, for sharing your testimonies. As I was listening, I was trying to think about this testimony from your perspective. First Lieutenant Templeton shares a dramatic story of how the Lord took him through an unimaginable pressure, and Kelly experienced it as well, and how your pressures are experienced too, through academics, through relationships, through complying with the code of conduct, through spiritual challenges you might have experienced last year. So we're all called to answer those same questions. Is God sovereign and is he good? And will I respond in getting this truth that I have up here in my head down to my heart, just the same as they have had to do in their experience? No, it is guaranteed that somebody in this group will have the opportunity to be in this platform a mere 6 years from now, within that time, just as First Lieutenant Templeton was able to come. And it is today, it is this week, and the preparation that you're doing that will put you in a position to respond appropriately from something just as dramatic that may happen to you, or even something less dramatic that may happen in your daily life. So I encourage you to take the opportunity today to answer for yourself, is God sovereign and is he good? Let's pray. Father, we do so dearly love you. We thank you for saving us from our sin. We thank you for helping us in the daily pressures that we face in this life. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies that we've heard from First Lieutenant Templeton and Kelly of your sovereignty and your goodness in their life and what they have learned from this pressure time that they've been through. Help each of us to apply it in our own lives in a way that will make us more like Christ. And through doing this, we'll advance your kingdom here on earth. And it's in that very precious name that we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.